Good morning and welcome. The People's Parliament is now called to order. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane. We go until 2 p.m. today, and today's topic for the People's Parliament is agriculture. In Barbados, where are we going? Now, the People's Parliament project, just as a reminder, is a project where we bring potential candidates to the forum to share their ideas, their parties, proposals in relation to the topic at hand for the day. It is also an opportunity for some expert contributors and also members of the public to ask some questions to flesh out some of these proposals that are brought to the People's Parliament. I would like for us today, by the end of today's session, to be able to have a clear understanding of where each of the parties stands in relation to agriculture in Barbados, where we are and where we're going. I want to put down some bit of a housekeeping matter here, and that is that the last time I sat in this chair in the People's Parliament and I reflected on that particular project, the reviews and so on that I got was that if potential candidates come to the forum and they come with a lot of fluffy talk, the public themselves, they do not get anything from the discussion. What they want to do is to be able to hold on to very specific type proposal that they can say, I can support this or that party, this or that guy, based on their proposals, which would be better for me, my family, my community, my constituency, and my country, Barbados. About a number of persons I spoke about with the project so far, one. If you say one out of 20, that's 0.5% of persons have already said to me that they have already they're already rethinking where they're putting their support in the next general election based on things that have been said on this project. So I think even if that alone, parties and candidates and persons making contributions must be mindful of the fact that people can only vote or support based on what is coming out. Some do it based on historical, some do it for all kind of other reasons, but I would like the candidates to be reminded of that throughout the project. So just as a reminder, today is a People's Parliament. It is what I call a panel discussion with calls and not a calling program with a panel. So you may not be able to get through with the regularity that you're accustomed to. But just please bear with us. We will try to take some calls from you, the gallery, but just keep it locked to VOB, the People's Parliament. The number to call, 434-1790. The WhatsApp, 266-4862. The email, brassstats@starcomnetwork.net. This is the People's Parliament Agriculture. Okay, let's start with Mr. Indar Weir. Agriculture in Barbados, where are we going? Let's get right down to brass tacks, the People's Parliament.
Oh, thank you, Corey. Good morning to all listeners in Barbados. Good morning to the panelists. The Barbados Labour Party recognizes that in order for us to develop a thriving and productive agricultural sector, there are two, possibly three fundamental pillars on which we should go forward in agriculture. That is the economic, the social, and the health. And we recognize that in agriculture, we must incentivize new entrants into the sector. Of course, we have to capitalize the industry, look at innovative approaches to agriculture, and as well as ensure agriculture becomes a viable career option in schools for students who may want to pursue a career in agriculture. That is that we will have to seek to remove the stigma that has been associated with agriculture over time. Our position also is that we will engage the stakeholders to make sure that we do a complete needs assessment of the sector. We will be promoting and developing state-of-the-art, privately operated sugar factories as an option, or perhaps look at one large-scale option. We got to create linkages between agriculture and tourism so that we can promote agritourism, providing incentives, of course, for operators to do tours to sugar factories, giving people an opportunity to sample our molasses, cane syrup, our rum, We're going to revitalize the sugarcane industry. Of course, we can do a lot more with sugar, specialty sugars. We have to bring the farmers on board to hear their concerns, to deal with matters of outstanding payments. We're going to deal with predatory larceny as well. We have to look at the 2017 legislation that was rushed through Parliament to bring that more in line to what the legislation should really be like. We will set up a committee, a select committee in Parliament, to consult with all stakeholders in agriculture, re-examine and revitalize the sector, encourage people, of course, to do some backyard planting of vegetables and fruits, because we're looking, as I said, as one of the fundamental pillars to getting a better or healthier society from the use of foods grown in an organic environment, and of course, foods that are grown without chemicals and fertilizers. And then, of course, we will develop an industry of black-bellied sheep, because we know that there are several benefits to that industry in terms of the quality of the meat. It's a healthier type of meat, of course, and then the byproducts in terms of using the skin for leather production and creating an industry that we can very well export. And overall, the economic benefit to all of this is that whilst we can make more and create a more sustainable agricultural sector, we can reduce our food import bill substantially, and perhaps cut out a lot of the foreign exchange challenges that we may have in going forward. This obviously would take a five-year plan to start with, where we engage the stakeholders, we set up how we are going to develop a cane industry and not necessarily sugar, because in the cane industry, you're taking a completely different approach in terms of energy through biomass, specialty types of cane that can produce syrup, and also that can be used for energy as well. And that overall is where our position is. I like to speak to things that are suitable, and so therefore I see this as a overall suitable position where agriculture is concerned in terms of where we are now and where we would like to be. Measurable in terms of the fact that we are doing it over a five-year period, so we've given you a time-bound situation. The fact that it will be achievable will depend a lot on the stakeholders, as well as how fast we can do business across the sector. In my view, it is extremely realistic at a time when agriculture has been left to go adrift, and at a time when the country needs agriculture now, and developing the 21st century Barbados that is suitable for the global environment that we have to exist in. And I suppose the time of it all will be when elections are called and we get a chance to move this country forward as a new Barbados Labour Party government of Barbados.
Indar Weir of the Barbados Labour Party. We move to David Gill of the United Progressive Party. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Corey, and a pleasant morning to all of you in listener land. You say agriculture, and the first thing that comes to mind is the old Agricola the farmer. A farm man out there with oxen drawing plows, or in more recent times, mechanical tractors. But agriculture goes beyond that. I am guided by a chant as an Anglican, which we sing, which speaks of the fish of the sea and the beasts and the cattle of the land and the green land and the fowls of the air. If you take that into totality, that is agriculture. Then you come in terms of the economic position. Where does agriculture stand vis-a-vis the other economies? If you could just imagine a rectangle, agriculture is at the dead center, radiating out to labor, the economy in terms of foreign exchange and balance of payments, health and nutrition, and the environment. To use a hackneyed phrase, it impacts on all four of them. I wouldn't like to say what percentage-wise. So it has to do with delivering a quality product, notwithstanding the fact that we do not have vast expanses of land like Brazil and Canada and Australia. It is not an impossible task. Just remember, the West Indies cricket team had to compete with people, and still compete with people coming from countries having millions upon millions. So it's not an impossible feat. But what has put us in the position, or where are we globally? Some 20 years or more, as the WTO fashioned their rules, small land masses like Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean were left struggling through the principal position of no longer guaranteeing quotas and subsidies. So the prices which we enjoyed preferentially have been removed. And that has left us with maybe both feet in the air. And over the years, we've been trying to grapple with getting back at least one foot on the ground. And therefore, the UPP has taken cognizance of all that prevails and all that stands in our way. And we have come up with a sustainable and a self-sufficient model, which will be for a specific agricultural commodities. No, I say commodities and not commodity. So to be able to fashion and to actually execute what we put in words, we would have to look, therefore, at things like our policy directives, our game plan, as it were. So we begin with one, the implementation of a land use policy, diversification of the agricultural product. Remember, we have to be secure. I think it is the FAO who said that you must come up with a model that would be more fair and competitive and improve the lot of the farmers and their families in these small jurisdictions like Barbados. Our policy would look at, our policies would also look at creating a culture in education, because agriculture is only one culture, and then our cultural behavior in its totality. We will have to look at capacity strengthening of the various governmental departments which look after agriculture and which radiate out to the smaller farmers and private farmers in general. We would also have to look at things like processing operations. Remember, sugar is one of the fortunate ones. It co-generates its own energy as it is being manufactured. And therefore, that's what has stood us well. So we still have to look at processing. Because of our climatic conditions, it is a good and it is also an evil. So we have to look at things like processing and storaging. We have to identify and pursue the high-end markets, as I said in the introduction, hotels. So you have to look at the spin-offs to the hotels and the cruise ship operations and operations of that level. And how are we going to achieve it? We are going to achieve those policies through innovation, scientific breakthroughs, and be at the cusp of new scientific models and theories and related technology. And when I say technology, I'm not only referring to information technology, as it brings me back to a lecture I listened to years ago, which says that technology is the handmaiden, it is the maid of science. So So I'm looking at all the scientific breakthroughs and the related technologies as they speak to agriculture. Then we have to look at our economic goals and trading opportunities. And when all is said and done, it is about securing ourselves at all times, and therefore product substitution and other factors will have to be taken into account.
David Gill of the UPP. We move to Dave Waldron, and he is from Solutions Barbados.
Actually, it's David Waldron. Yes, Solutions Barbados. Solutions Barbados has, for 3 years now, sat and made provision or plans for agriculture in Barbados. And if you check our website, you will see that we will be encouraging householders to plant trees, encouraging Bajans to plant. We will be giving tax deductions for every household who plant a tree or plant fruit trees. Right? But outside of all of that, I want to say that I've heard a lot of plans in regards to agriculture for, in Barbados for many years, from one administration to the next. Agriculture has been the bastard child of Barbados. It has been ignored, and to some extent, the headquarters of agriculture was almost sold for a different purpose. Nevertheless, Solutions Barbados will support and encourage traditional and non-traditional agriculture. This subsector comprise of vegetable crops, root crops, horticulture, livestock, and cotton. And due to limitations of field farming and weather variabilities, insect attacks and stray animal attacks, a Solutions Barbados government will encourage and facilitate the use of greenhouse technology for all year production and hydroponics. Within 2 months of a Solutions Barbados government, a prototype of a hydroponic system that can be used by every household that will take up a space of 5 to 12 feet, a rectangular space of 5 to 12 feet, will be rolled out and made available to all householders in Barbados, thus facilitating the production of vegetable crops on every household or every lot in Barbados, including yards and regular spaces. Any government serious about agriculture must also take seriously the importance of soil testing and soil health. A Solutions Barbados government will set up a soil testing lab in Barbados for the purpose of encouraging farmers to farm the correct way. We also have plans for maritime fisheries and aquaculture by providing processing and packaging facilities to accommodate value-added incentives to make fish products attractive and desirable for niche market exporting and local consumption or local consumers. Solutions Barbados takes agriculture very seriously. We understand the importance of agriculture to bringing this economy back from where we are at. Right now, we are in a very bad place in regards to our economy. And because agriculture has been ignored or pushed on the back burner, we have missed a lot of important opportunities. For example, the black belly sheep. The black belly sheep has a very, the black belly sheep has a very important role to play in our development. In 2006, a gentleman called Dr. Leroy McLean did a study on genetics in the black belly sheep. And it is sad that this have not gone or has not been taken any further. There is, we in Solutions Barbados believe there is benefits, there are lots of benefits to be derived from the black belly sheep. So we will pay special attention to the black belly sheep. So as it is, Solutions Barbados takes agriculture very seriously, and we will also engage the wider population and the technocrats that we have here in Barbados to bring about change and positive change to agriculture in Barbados.
Mr. Dave Waldron from Solutions Barbados. We go to Derek Wendt from the Barbados Integrity Movement, BIM.
Good morning, Barbados listeners everywhere, and all the members of the panel. It's really a pleasure to be here to give voice to what I understand to be the platform on which the Barbados Integrity Movement will be addressing agriculture and the future of food security in Barbados. When I, as an individual person here in Barbados, living in a very average way, sort of just involved in the life of Barbados, when I think of agriculture, I think of food first. Most people, I would think, are concerned about when they have any idea about what it is that they might be growing or have available to them for as food. It would be in the consideration of things that are grown, that are imported, that are identified as food for the nation. And when one has an understanding of the relationship of food to health and the wealth of the nation, then it is clear to see that agriculture is a cornerstone for the future of this country. Without a position and a vision held for what we're actually going to do to make the difference in the way that food security addresses the needs and concerns of Barbadians everywhere, we have to come up with a vision as to what we can actually identify as all the plans and programs and papers and things that have been developed over the years, identifying all the individual things that people can know and learn about where food comes from and how it relates to their lifestyles and their living choices and the health that they experience as a result of those choices. In the Barbados Integrity Movement, looking at agriculture as a foundation stone and how it links, as all the other panelists have identified, in various projects and ways and products and animals and birds and fish and whatever else we might have available to us as resources, the necessity for the choices that have to be made must be based on a very practical and far-reaching application for the way we will change the way people understand how food relates to their lives in this country. There are all the concerns which have, as I said, been identified by the other panelists, all the various projects and concerns, food security being the primary one, food quality, soil use, land use, the identification of the various products, the animals, and so on. It's essential that we find ways in which we can link those things to very practical understanding that people can then plug in through the development of industry and all the related issues that are easily identifiable throughout the years. Because the amount of things, the amount of papers that have been written, it's quite clear that we know the names of things that need to be done. So it's really a question now of finding the foundation on which we can change the minds and hearts of people in their attitudes to the country, to the way that we, in which we grow food, to the way we access health, to the way we identify products that can be developed and marketed internationally, the way that we can bring pride and industry back to the agricultural sector, the way that we can move forward with something that is going to uplift the entire nation and all the people involved in taking part, putting their making their connections to the issues at hand, and how it is that we can then link all these programs to very practical ways in which people can make a difference to the quality of life, which, as I understand it, comes out of the food security that is necessary for us to be able to move forward in creative ways. When a nation is concerned about survival, as we have been for such a long time, because of the dearth and the the shortfalls and various other issues that have been plaguing us for so long, particularly in the attitudes to agriculture. It is very critical that we change the understanding of that relationship of the nation to where their food comes from, and then to offer them a vision as to how Barbados can become an increasingly progressive place for the disbursement, the development, the introduction, the execution of all these various programs and policies and ideas that are very easily identified and recognized throughout the situation. So we will move forward with the Barbados Integrity Movement on identifying and establishing some of these foundation parameters, especially in terms of the education of the youth and changing the attitudes of the people so that we can move forward on a very positive vision for the region, for Barbados, and for the people of the island. Thank you.
Mr. Derek Wenk from the Barbados Integrity Movement. We now go to the Democratic Labour Party. And yet another People's Parliament, they have not sent a representative. So let's get down to brass tacks. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask some questions being forwarded here from the general public through WhatsApp or WhatsApp. And we're also going to look at from research that I've done and some papers that cabinet studies that have been done that I've been able to get my hand on in relation to where we are in agriculture. And I ask the question, the obvious question, before you come here presenting policies, you must understand where we are and why we are here. We are talking about an industry that spends about $800 million in foreign exchange importing food, yet we talk about not having land mass. And when you travel around Barbados and you see all the mamosi trees and you see all the rab land, basically land that is doing nothing. And I turn to one of the pages here to make the point in relation to when we look at import, when we look at demand, when we look at what it is that we are spending and eating in Barbados. According to page 185 of this study, A Vision for the Future of Agriculture in Barbados, I'll give you a simple example, something like pumpkin. In the year this study was done, we would have produced about 166,000 kilograms of pumpkin. We would have imported 536. So we produce 166 and we import 536. The demand was 702. So in other words, we produce 23.7% of the pumpkin we use in this country. Now that is totally ridiculous to my mind, because pumpkin is something that grows well, doesn't require much. It is heavy. So even the cost and freight and insurance of importing pumpkin is a concern for me. So I need us to understand where we are and why we are here before I go on to the main questions. Why are we in this situation? Each panelist here spoke about the decline of agriculture. Why have we declined in agriculture? One or two sentences, very specific. Let's move on. Who wants to go first?
Well, since I was asked to do the intro first, it might be more appropriate for me to take it first. Look, Corey, Barbados has faced a level of inertia over the last decade that is unprecedented. We've had a lot of talk.
No, I understand. Why is agriculture in the position that it's in to your mind? Yeah. Direct.
Well, because of the inertia. Nobody's doing anything.
So it's not only agriculture then, is across the board.
Across the board, but particularly within the Ministry of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. We have had several initiatives spoken of where nothing has gone forward. The minister has done nothing. The country just suffers because nothing takes place in the sector. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at the document that was produced by the stakeholders, the Barbados Sugar Industry Limited, you can see clearly that several initiatives were spoken of. They were developed. They were written about. We have had the composition of land for cane sugar versus land for other agricultural produce. Nothing has been done.
So agriculture is declining because of inertia. Anybody else want to take on that question? Because you must understand why we are where we are in order to fix it. Mr. Waldron.
Corey.
Solution Barbados.
Solutions Barbados. Honestly, you know, we have to be realistic about what has happened to agriculture over the last two decades. Successive governments have ignored agriculture for the last 2 decades.
Why?
Don't know why. Agriculture have not just been failing now, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Agriculture has been failing
again,
for a long time.
I put it to you, you must know why, because you can't come in and try to fix something if you don't know why. Because let's say it's a money problem. Let's say it is a mental slavery problem. Let's say it is a problem of campaign financing where a big importer supports the party, therefore the policies cannot affect that big importer. You must know the reason why.
I will tell you why.
Okay.
They have been,
you know, all of a sudden, let me go.
There have been no investment in agriculture.
No. Why?
No.
Do I need to get to the why? This is about emotional intelligence, like the onion. We got to peel down to get to the core. Why has there not been investment in agriculture?
There obviously no interest in agriculture. It's being treated as the bastard child for a long time. Look, for example,
so,
Corey.
No, I don't need that examples yet. And it can be like this the entire day, because let me show y'all what we're up against. Will these guests, this is from the WhatsApp, will these guys ever get to specific mechanics of how they would implement their policies? Any dog can bark, and for the last 2 weeks, they've been barking. The challenge to each of you is to show the general public, you don't come here to bark. We come here to get down to the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of how we will improve agriculture. So, David Gill, you have a comment,
Corey,
for us from UPP.
Corey, in spite of the malaise of successive governments, you go into something to make money. And if your return on investment is not what you would like it to be to sustain your family and yourself standard of living, why are you going to remain in it? It's as simple as that.
So there's no profitability, basically.
Profitability is the bottom line. Whether you're selling coconuts, ackees, farming, it is something to feed you, your family, pay your bills, your overheads at the end of the day. Pretty larceny. It ain't easy when you have done a hectare, 2 acres, whatever. And you go to bed at night saying, boy, I look good. Are you going to reap in the morning? And when you come back, a fella reap 4 days morning. Again, you might do it once or twice. Then there are the wild dog situation. Then there are the actual cost inputs. You just don't throw, not disrespecting what you said, that the pumpkin is a fairly wild growing vegetable. But you throw a few seeds there and you get some lovely pumpkin. But it depends on the soil quality. So you've got to bring your soil quality up to standard. It is the cost of labor, somebody to help you with it, unless it is just a small portion in the back where you and your wife or you and your children do it. So it is planting, hoeing, removing weeds, fertilizing, pesticides, weedicides. You go to bed this tonight and you have a nice looking crop. But because you are not trained in detecting the early onset of a pest, and say, well, look, hey, I see a little traipsing along this leaf, or I see a little drooping in the leaf. Mm-hmm. You know, you the next morning you get up, 50% of the crop damaged.
But my thing is, we have a Ministry of Agriculture with extension.
I will
officers.
Get to that.
Hold on a minute. I glad you say not disrespecting my point, because what I'm gonna say here is not to disrespect anybody's point, but is to put a challenge to you where I think we are going in relation to policy in Barbados. So this is where I'm gonna go. I do not agree that agriculture is not profitable. I know people that build houses, coconut vendors. Right. What happens a lot is that we see the unsuccessful persons in agriculture, the gluts and so on. We see those things. We see when the dogs attack the sheep, and we do not see the very successful farmers who go and build mansions. And I know a few of them. Good morning to them, because they tell me they will be listening. Not that I know there are many millionaires, but understand where you're coming from. And now my problem with your opening, right, is you spoke a lot about incentivizing. There's an entire incentive program that was just upgraded that speaks about even getting these incentives beforehand, where you had to spend and then get back after. It speaks to a 2003 incentive program put in place. I had a meeting with the PS about 2 weeks ago in agriculture, and he informed me that I was put in place in 2003, $250,000 for young people and farmers working with young people in stipends, never used yet. $2 million in the agriculture program that only now start getting access, and this is from 2003. I can let you respond, but I want to break down what everybody says so we can put in context where we're going forward from here. Now, You talk about engaging and consulting. What is, this may not be the intention of the party, but listening to this, it sounds like the Barbados Labour Party intends to bring us talk, more talk on agriculture. It sounds like if you plan to engage and consult, you be already know the issues. And again, in fairness to you, I know you have to respond to that and let you respond. Backyard farming, that's been talked about before. Specializing in black-bellied sheep, that's been talked about before. Agriculture tourism link, that's been talked about before I was an embryo. So all of these are things that we've been talking about forever. Let me come to you, Mr. David Gill. You talked about quality of land, I like that, policy direction, land use, education, storage. We've been talking about storage and the onions and drying and so on. So let's talk about these things. The Hayeng, the Muscovado sugar, the small packaging of sugar to make it more valuable. These are things that we have talked about, but we cannot go and put our hands on any of it because that is what we're good at talking about.
You know what that means?
Solutions, sorry. You talked about. I'm picking on all these things. Okay, okay. I be fleshing out.
Yeah.
Solutions, fruit trees, fair enough, but hydroponics and greenhouses, we need to understand these things before we come to the forum. Studies have shown that greenhouses not been working in the Caribbean because the original design of greenhouses, right, is for what? To trap in heat. So they were really designed for these cold climates to keep in the heat. We don't need to keep in any heat. So solar grower for Aaron Rogers could speak more about this. He had to design solar power, air condition controls for greenhouses. Because people went because of see Israel and all these places with greenhouses, gone and set them up and all the plants withering because you're trapping in more heat than the plants could take because it's a hot climate. Hydroponics, same thing. Well, hydroponics, you don't use soil, so you need nutrients. You know how to get the nutrients? A lot of chemicals you got to put into that. So they're gone over now to aquaponics because they get the fish waste that's a lot more healthy. So we need to do our research before we bring these things to the forum. Mr. Wett, I was only able to pull 2 points from you, but I want to underline the one about food security. I don't think Barbadians understand this concept of food security. Good luck for us, Donald Trump. And little rocket man, as they call him, talking now. Because if we saw World War III, then we would understand the importance of food security when ships can't come here to bring our 800 million in food.
Exactly.
That is what we're talking about, gentlemen. Let us flesh out the ideas. Now, again, drop this one first question, and I want everybody to pick it up. And in your response, you could try to attempt to answer the things I spoke about. Sugar. Where are we going in sugar? People are saying sugar in Barbados is dead. It is dead. People even say, look at Bahamas and Caymans and all these people that were out of sugar. They've used the land to build things like condos and different things, bringing the foreign exchange. This is what they tell me. They bring the foreign exchange and they spend that money on buying. So do we throw sugar to out the door or what are we going to do with sugar? We all know the situation with sugar, particularly the 2018 sugar crop or 2017 as you want to call it. Okay. Where were we doing with sugar?
Corey, give me a chance first of all. Mm-hmm. To respond to the comment you made about if it's the Barbados Labour Party's intention just to talk.
Mm-hmm. To consult and engage.
You cannot develop an agricultural sector without engaging the stakeholders. If you plan to do that, you plan to fail. Because these are the people who are involved. These are the people who will give you an idea of what the challenges are, how we can overcome those challenges and go forward. Any consultation, regardless of what it is you're doing, is necessary for you to achieve any solutions to any problem that you may have. One. Two, in terms of sugar, people continue to say sugar, 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 sugar. We really need a cane industry. And we need a cane industry simply because I spoke about specialty sugars. I've heard it mentioned through some of the other panelists. I think Gilly did and Derek did. But the reality of it is that you need to now move to a situation where you can use specialty sugars and a cane industry where you can benefit from the byproducts, the bagasse that you can use for green energy. You can also look at our rum industry to see how we can use a special type of syrup to help produce our rum. And then the other benefits to that. And this is not just conversation. These are reality options that are available simply because of consultations we've had. Now, if you look at the tourism industry, what is the linkage? What is it exactly that you want to achieve? A tourism industry where people come to Barbados and do the same old, same old, same old, same old, or an industry where people actually have heard about the changes that have taken place in agriculture in Barbados? Where they are now curious to the extent that they now want to see how our rum is produced. They want to sample even the syrup. They want to take a tour of the fields to see how the cane is growing and the aesthetics of it across the country. And then on our menus, in our hotels, in our restaurants, how we can use locally grown lamb, how we can use locally grown produce. These are all the things that, and this is not talk, this is a reality situation. What scares me in Barbados more than anything else is that you get a lot of generics coming back. Oh, you're only talking. I've heard it talk before. That is rubbish. We have in Barbados a fundamental problem that has to be fixed. And that problem permeated this country over 10 years where nothing happened. So people are now treating to it as though you only talk. That I can understand. But you must face the facts, Corey. There has been no action taking place in agriculture in this country. And perhaps when people speak of only hearing talk, that is what they're referring to. But we have to go forward and we have to create the space for us to go forward. And each time you put a policy position and you try to advance a position where you can now move from where we are, it is not acceptable to say you're just talking. Now, I spoke about capital investment in the industry.
But you can't be upset with people that say it's just talk because the inertia in agriculture didn't start 10 years ago.
I'm not upset.
Yeah. Okay, you have to accept the inertia in agriculture did not start 10 years ago.
I have to accept that the inertia in agriculture took place under a minister who have spoken about several policy positions, none of which were pursued. If you look at the Andrews factory down there, that is a glaring example.
This is a minister or ministers?
This is a minister. This
the inertia, took place on no, the in all due respect, inertia, from the time I started in agriculture 19 years ago, it was advised by many, many persons in both parties, including the late Prime Minister David Thompson. Corey, if you want to get through with agriculture, keep from the Ministry of Agriculture. That was said to me verbatim, word for word. Keep from the, they did not start it 10 years
and
ago.
And I can respond to you by saying that I sat on the Barbados National Oil Company Board when the Barbados Labour Party was in power. And we spoke about using cane
you hear
as
what
a
you
source
said?
Of energy.
You spoke.
That was in 2007.
And that is the problem.
We spoke. Corey, this is the point. That was in 2007.
We have a lot of sports.
But we need to change the conversation. Otherwise,
action because changing the conversation is still about speaking. We need to get out there. You see all them tractors and things because you can't get land plowed for the last 2 years. They need to go and get fixed. And they need to start plowing up all the rab land. And we need to start doing, not spoken and engaging and consulting. We have too much sports in the wheel. More of the People's Parliament when we come back. This is Brass Stats.
Soca Kingdom.
Barbados, get ready.
Soca Kingdom.
As we take soca to another level.
Soca Kingdom.
With Soca Royalty.
Soca Network in association with Cropover City presents
Soca Ignition.
Ready.
Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty. From Trinidad and Tobago, three-time international Soca Monarch Voice.
From your wake up this morning.
Four-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical.
If like it, I could dance tonight.
Plus the best of Beige and Soca Royalty.
Oh yes, the water rock.
Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing and Bagatelle, CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown, A&B Music Supply, Sheraton, Smart Store, Lime Grove, Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown, Little Munchkin, Sky Mall, Starcom Network on River Road, and online at www.ticketnation.bb. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca Royalty, so get your tickets now!
You see the party there? The party lit!
DOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Lorry Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
This is the People's Parliament. We go to the gallery, to the phone lines, and we say good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I'm glad to hear you, Mr. Corey, and good morning to the members of your panel, all males, I notice. Good morning, you gentlemen.
Good morning.
Well, let me say this. I have a critique. Some of the members of the panel, I can hear their minds working there. I can actually hear them trying to bring out the words, the right thing, to say the right things, because this is a political campaign, although it has not been announced. And I think we should get down so that the people out there can really understand what your true plans are. For example, we were asked a question by Mr. Corey. Why is agriculture declining? I have not heard a clear answer. But let me say this to you as we speak. There are a handful of people who call themselves developers who consider that land is wasted in agriculture and is better put in housing and things of that nature. That is one. Every year and every administration, you notice these people attach themselves to the powers that be and they take up the land for whatever purpose. The last thing I'm hearing is, well, we have to get rid of the old sugar factories and the 9 or 10 acres around them because they're falling apart. So let us put it in housing. So if we find all of these excuses, we will not have enough land for use. And then we have things like happening right now, I'm told. We were given a God-given bit of wetland, that is at Graham Hall. And instead of using this maybe for fish farming, I understand we're now throwing filth in that and killing all the fish. I mean, these are things that we should be addressing. The other thing, I have not heard, unless I got here late, anyone address the problem of the monkey, which is inhibiting many people from doing any type of farming. They're all over the country. And no one comes with the plan, how are we going to deal with this pest? Last thing, I'm asking the panel, if they are planning to plant any more agricultural pests, the river tarming in the country, and if they do, what are they going to do with it when it's being planted?
Okay, thank you, caller. Just make note of the questions, and you can answer them as we go on. The Brastats, the People's Parliament, good morning, you're on the air. Good morning, you're on the program.
Calling in regards to the lack of funding in our culture, particularly in fisheries. In 2014, I took an expedition offshore to locate and develop the crab grounds. We did find the crab grounds. We did locate. We did develop. We opened our own crab processing plant, and we did pretty good for the first year. However, then we were at the stage where we had to find financing for it. And then we started looking towards the government. We started looking towards private financing. We started looking for private entities to come in from overseas. Here is where the metal met the road. The overseas, well, they were all run off by the downgrades. The private investors locally, they're run off by NSRL. And the government seemed to make no change of it. Right? This is a foreign exchange machine. The crab industry worldwide is over $100 million just in the Caribbean basin alone and going into the billions in the international northern hemisphere. What is the plan of the parties that are sitting on there on the panel to increase funding into fisheries and especially into exploratory fisheries, right? Because the crab grounds were never discovered before 2014. We took our own money. We went out and found them. And they're very, very exploitable, and they are very sustainable. But however, still, there's no initial plan for funding anything in fisheries.
All right, stick fisheries a pin there. Fisheries is something, when we talk about agriculture, we don't really talk. It's very, very on the side. It's something that I want to hear you respond to when you get ready to do your responses. So, Carly, we're going to take that as your main point in relation to how do we capitalize fisheries and focus more on fisheries, as the sea is a major resource. The People's Parliament, good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, please, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to speak on the same subject, but I should be in such a big subject. I don't want to discuss the whole dynamic of it. I would just want to talk about policy. And I think one of the things that needs to be done in agriculture is either grouping farms together or zoning and giving certain responsibilities and rewarding persons for meeting targets that would allow for them to see that is of value in grouping together. Because in Barbados right now, you have a lot of individual persons doing as whatever they want to do. And there's in a real serious benefit of that. It benefits them, yes, but it benefits them in terms of foreign exchange because, yes, they have the fact that